We're doing Rabbeinu Yonah Pirkei Avot. We were learning the 12th Mishnah in the second chapter. Rabbi Yossi had said, cherish your friend's money as your own. Prepare yourself to learn Torah. A person has to have good traits so that their Torah will be successful. It doesn't come as an inheritance. And all of one's actions should be for the sake of heaven. So Rabbeinu Yonah had expanded on that and he had said, even things that their nature is not a mitzvah, like eating, drinking, sitting, lying, all of those should be for the sake of heaven. Hashiva v'akimah v'anicha ketzad. How so with regards to sitting and standing and walking? En tzich lomar shelo leshev b'moshav leitzim. I don't have to mention what it says in Psalms, that a person shouldn't sit in the company of people who are foolish. V'shelo lamod b'mkom chataim, and not to stand with people who are focused on sinning. V'shelo yilech ba'atzat l'shaim, nor to be a part of the plot of the wicked. Now this seems obvious, right? But maybe not. You know, people go to bars. Who are you sitting with? Who's the guy sitting next to you? It says in the Talmud, there were rabbis who wouldn't sit at a meal unless they knew who was participating in that meal. Because a person should take care that the people he sits with are people of fine character. You go on a journey, you try to make sure the people you're going with are good people. El afilu leshev besod yesharim, velamod bederech tzadikim lelech batzat emimim. But let's take something more extreme. A person learns Torah. He learns Torah to the points where he's learning the secrets of Torah. He's rubbing shoulders with the giants of Torah. A person wants to get everything right, but if he does it just because he enjoys it. And he's doing it just because he desires it. We don't view that as the most praiseworthy. The question is, did a person do it for the sake of heaven? And if we look closely, then we find examples of that throughout the Tanakh. We find there was a man named Doeg, right? He was a big learner of Torah. Yeah. He was very knowledgeable. And yet, he used it all in the wrong direction, and he doesn't have a portion of the world to come. There was a man named Yeravam ben Nevat. Who was Yeravam ben Nevat? Yeravam ben Nevat was the biggest person in the Jewish people, right? Huge Talmud Chacham Yeravam ben Nevat. And when Shlomo HaMelech builds a palace that closes access to the temple, so no one says a word except for Yeravam ben Nevat, and he's shaking out of fervor as he yells at Shlomo, you can't do that, everyone wants to ascend to the temple, what'd you block their path for? Yeravam ben Nevat is the only one that gives Shlomo over the head when Shlomo sleeps late the first morning of the building of the temple. Did we discuss the story last week? Yes. Right, 4 hours into the day. And yet, Yeravam ben Nevat loses it all. Why? Because there's always that element of himself in everything. He's always thinking of himself first. And that's why even his Torah, even all his greatness in Torah, was averted in the wrong direction. So even in Torah, a person has to be careful and think, am I doing this for the sake of heaven? And try to perfect it to do it for the sake of heaven. Shchiva keitzad, when we speak about lying down, how so, where there do we say apply it all for the sake of heaven? En tzich lomar bizman sheyachol lasok batorah v'mitzvot u'mitgareh b'shina le'aneg et atzmo she'en ra'ul la'asot ken. I don't have to discuss, says Rabbeinu Yonah, that at a time that a person doesn't need to sleep, he could be learning Torah, he could be doing mitzvos, and a person just enjoys lying in bed. One of the pleasures of life is on a Shabbos afternoon like the tomorrow where it's going to be raining outside. If you could cuddle up in a warm blanket and get a good Shabbos sleep, that's great. Shena b'Shabbat tanug. But where are the limits? What about there are people who need our assistance? What about if we've gotten our full of sleep? We've caught up on our sleep. So then, obviously, a person shouldn't be wasting his time in bed. And afilu b'zman sheyageh v'tzich lishan. And what happens when a person needs his sleep? A person has to rest. It's one of the great illnesses of our society. We don't sleep enough. How many people here are sitting with a cup of coffee? I know I am. Right? Why? Why? Because we don't sleep enough. It's one of the big problems we have. Once upon a time, if you were to stay up for 5 minutes after sundown, you had to pay for that. Today, we don't think about our electric bill. We don't even know when sundown is. We don't pay attention because we have electric lighting. And so we charge into the night. Used to be that even in the summer, you'd get your 8-9 hours of sleep. Who got less than that? You went to sleep when the sun went down. How much later can you stay up? You know what happens when there's a blackout? So when nighttime comes, everyone gets to sleep. It's hard to stay awake when you don't have good light. It's dark, even if you light a few candles. How late are you going to stay awake for? An hour, 2 hours eventually. You go to sleep. Today comes nighttime, we don't even know it. The rooms are filled with light, electricity. Even now, our main light in this classroom is not the sunlight outside. We have electric light. So the sun goes down, the sun comes up, we don't know it. So that's pushed our society to a point where we go to sleep too late, we get up too early, and that's not right. So a person has to catch up on the sleep he needs. And they found that couples who got enough sleep, 50% of couples who needed therapy, when they got enough sleep, were able to do without therapy. We're more patient people. We're better parents. We're kinder people when we have enough sleep. That's one of the tools they used in Vietnam. They saw that there's a natural inclination that when a soldier shoots, they shift. There's a natural human inclination not to kill. And they couldn't get the soldiers to kill the enemy. So one of the things they did was they wouldn't allow the soldiers to shower, they wouldn't allow the soldiers to get enough sleep. And then when a person is more irritable, so then it affects him. It's very interesting. Then people would shoot more on the mark. So if we're irritated by external things, then that translates itself into how we deal with our fellow men. And we see that in Halacha as well. The Halacha says we light Shabbos candles. Why? We light Shabbos candles because if there won't be light in the house and you'll be stumbling, you'll get into fights with your wife. That's what the Gemara says. But why should I get into a fight with my wife just because I stumbled over a kid's toy? What does that have to do with her? I stumble over a chair, I get into a fight with her. Yes, when a person is more annoyed, so then it translates itself into fights within the home. So enough sleep is a very important thing to get. But when a person goes to sleep because he needs it, if he says, oh, I need sleep, I'm going to sleep, so then fine, he's like every other creature on the planet, he's taking care of himself. There's no room to praise that, it's just being a sophisticated animal. But when a person says, I'm taking care of myself because I have a higher calling in life, I'm doing something with my life, so I need to sleep so I can function, so I can be productive, so I can do what's right. When do we praise a person? When he says, I need sleep, so that way I could be productive, I could do mitzvot, I could remain healthy, I won't go crazy in my learning Torah. That's a line that Rabbeinu Yonah writes that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this line that a person can go crazy learning Torah if he doesn't rest, if he doesn't take breaks. So that's it says in Shulchan Aruch that a person should arrange his sleep so that it's organized, that he gets enough sleep, and he wakes up on time, and he has a schedule that's a productive schedule. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, and ordinarily the doctors of the day thought it was a bad idea to sleep in the afternoon, the Talmud says, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it. But then the Shulchan Aruch says, but if you need it, so take care of yourself. Sometimes a person needs a break. A person needs to sleep in the afternoon. There are those people who need to sleep in the afternoon. There's a rabbi today who's considered one of the leading rabbis who it's well known that he gets 8 hours of sleep every night. Every night he saw that he can only be productive if he gets 8 hours of sleep. I was at a wedding of one of his grandchildren, and when it came 9:30, 10 o'clock night, he said, Mazal tov, I have to go to sleep. He left. He didn't wait for a benching. It was his own grandchild. But he said, you know, if you want to make it early, I can stay till then. You want to make it late, fine. I need to get my sleep. So his whole life, he's always been careful to get his 8 hours, and he's been very, very productive. Yeah, that's something that we view highly. When a person can lead a productive life and channel his needs so that they're all supportive of that. And that requires thought. Yeah.
Just last night, you gave the example of how, you know, David and Melech never slept. And I think at one point you also said Yitzchak, when he was in the yeshiva, he didn't sleep, or he slept on his desk just for intervals throughout the day.
Oh, so there are all kinds of fantastic stories about people who managed with diminished sleep. So the story goes, I don't know if it's true, but here's the story. Story goes that a person came to the Gra and said to him, how do I function on 2 hours of sleep a night? So the Gra said, you don't get normal sleep. So the guy said, but I hear you do it. So the Gra said, come here. So the guy steps over to the Gra, and the Gra puts a finger on the guy's chest and throws him across the room. So the guy says, "How'd you do that?" So the Gra says, "You see, you're not me." They say that the Gra had extraordinary strength. They say even as a child, he was once frustrated and he took a big piece of iron and bent it into two. The Gra was born with extraordinary strength. You see, he channeled it for Torah. There are people who have extraordinary strength, but generally, if people try to do that, then they collapse. There's Napoleon went 2 years with almost no sleep, 2 years where he was charging ahead, and then he became sick and slept for years. You know, most people, if they don't lead a balanced life, it backfires. It doesn't work. The Talmud says that when Yitzchak was arguing with Hashem that maybe there can be merits for Esav, so he says, "Ribono shel Olam, what did Esav do wrong already? Half his day is doing the mundane things. Okay, let's calculate how much Esav could be. We could look positively at him. So that means 12 hours out of 24, he's sleeping. He's taking care of his bodily needs. He's eating meals. That means that Yitzchak was assuming that a normal person, even a healthy person like Esav, is going to get somewhere near 8 hours of sleep, because he's not davening the other 4 hours. What's he doing? How long does it take to eat a meal? An hour, 2 hours? I'm saying, and Yitzchak still, in that argument before his creator, he said, half the time, you see, he's taking to take care of himself. So the assumption is that a person gets a normal amount of sleep. And we see this throughout our sages. People hear stories about great rabbis who went on very little sleep. Some of the stories are not true, and some of the stories are about people who had different strengths than we do. A person has to work with the strengths he himself has. And for most people, we need somewhere between 7 and 8 hours of sleep. Most people function much better if they get that amount of sleep. And if you think about your day, you'll see that you can get that amount of sleep. A lot of time is wasted. When the war broke out 7-8 months ago, so I was sending SMSs to soldiers every day with a Dvar Torah, words of encouragement. It reached a point where I was sending 15,000 SMSs a month. And I couldn't do it on my little dinky phone. It was very hard to punch in every day and punch in all the names and punch in the Divrei Torah. So I got a smartphone. Against my principles, I got a smartphone. And when I got it, I stopped going online because I could see my emails and answer them en route. And suddenly, I saw that I'm saving a ton of time. Because once you go online, you end up inadvertently checking A or B or C out. Someone sends you a link, and you're using a smartphone, you don't want to press on that link. So you just delete it, and you move on. So suddenly you're not wasting your time reading all the stupidities people send you. And I found that ever since I check my emails there, I don't go online. I go online maybe once a week on a computer. And I save a ton of time that way. I don't recommend getting a smartphone. There's other problems. But I'm saying if we'd look at our day, we would suddenly discover there's a lot we could cut out. And a person can get that sleep and be very productive. And on the contrary, a person would be more productive. When we exert energies fighting sleep, then that eats away at our focus. They discovered that most people can have a very good memory. And the reason we don't remember things is because we're not focused. Why aren't we focused? So it could be because our mind is on a bunch of other things. It could be because we're not well rested. So we're exerting energy to stay awake. So Rabbeinu Yonah said, a person needs to get adequate sleep. And when his sleep is a part of a productive lifestyle, it's a part of a lifestyle of Torah and mitzvos, so then we look at his sleep as also a part of doing mitzvos. When we speak about intimacy, so we don't have to mention that a person has to be intimate only with who he's permitted at the time he's permitted to do it in a way that's not sinful. But we know the Torah gives us a biblical mitzvah of ona. A person has a biblical mitzvah that the Torah says he has a minimum amount of times he has to be intimate with his wife. So a person who learns in yeshiva has a minimum of twice a week. A person has a mitzvah when he leaves for a journey. A person has a mitzvah when he comes back from a journey. There are different times that the halacha says those are the minimum, not the maximum. That's a minimum. So even there we say if a person was doing it and all he was thinking about was his own desires, that's not praiseworthy. And even if a person says, "I want to have kids, I need someone to shine my shoes before Shabbos. I need someone to roll up my tefillin at the end of davening. So, en ze meshubach. That's not praiseworthy. But if a person says, I want to build a family, I want to have a family that's a part of the chain of Am Yisrael, or if a person says, I'm doing it because I have a mitzvah to do it. So now, sometimes we think that if I have a mitzvah, I can't enjoy it. Sure, I can enjoy it. You're going to eat challahs tonight. You're going to eat cholin tomorrow. You're supposed to enjoy that. The idea that I'm doing it for the sake of the mitzvah doesn't preclude the idea that a person is enjoying it at the same time. The question is the mitzvah factor a major factor? And if it is, then that's reflected in our behavior. If the main point is a person's own desires, then that's reflected in their behavior. If the main point is the mitzvah, so then that's reflected. Chazal seemed to indicate that this is an area where it's like the Talmud brings a story where a woman discussed a transgression she had done with, she asked the rabbi, what am I supposed to do now? So the rabbi asked her, did you enjoy it? So she said, Rabbi, if it was the middle of Yom Kippur and someone would stick a finger with honey in your mouth, would you enjoy it? Okay, some things, how could you argue? You know, so you say, I'm in Yom Kippur, I don't want to eat that honey. Right, but honey is sweet nonetheless. So the same thing here. No one's saying that a person shouldn't enjoy the food on Shabbos. You should. But there should also be that component. I'm doing this as a mitzvah of eating the meal of Shabbos. Yeah.
But the two aren't necessarily mutually exclusive.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That the two are not exclusive. That they work fine together. Yeah. But if there's that component, I don't even know what a person's driving force is. It's hard to say. We'd like to think that it's for the sake of the mitzvah. But it's very hard. You see that David HaMelech had a father named Yishai, who was such a tzaddik. Medrash says he lived to the ripe old age of 400 years. And the Yishai obviously did things for the sake of heaven, because it says he never did a transgression that was worthy of his death. He passed away from the world just as people have to die, but he never sinned to the point where he deserved to die. And yet, David HaMelech speaks about his parents, and he says, Ribbono Shalom, you know I can only count on you, because my mom and dad, well, they had me, but they were just enjoying themselves. So you read that, and you say, what? Yishai? He's talking about his father, Yishai? Yeah, because there, it's very hard when a person, like, when a person eats the Shabbos meal, it's very hard to say, I'm only doing this for the sake of heaven, that my own taste buds don't get the better of me. At the end of the day, you're enjoying it. You can say the words. The question is it real?
But yeah. You shouldn't say that you're only doing it for the sake of heaven.
Right, but someone said, what's the driving force? And on that I'm saying that it's even hard to say that the driving force is the mitzvah. Because at the end of the day, you're hungry and you're enjoying the food and your taste buds are talking. Can you say that the driving force is the mitzvah, or can you say the mitzvah is important to me and I'm enjoying the food, and the mitzvah is also important to me, and I wish I were at a stage where I could say that the driving force is the mitzvah?
That's the key, right? To know yourself enough. What motivates you? If you say, I'm only going to do something because I'm scared of burning the next world, or I'm only going to give anything to tzedakah because my ego needs a building named after you, well, then do it. And work on having a different motivation. Maybe do it anonymously another time. But don't kid yourself, because otherwise you won't do anything positive. Right? I mean, the third meal is a good way to test right here this time of year.
I'll give you another example. We didn't think we would have challahs this Shabbos. So angels brought our yeshuv 500 or 800 challahs on Wednesday. And I told my wife, I said, you know, these challahs are going to be so dry by the time Shabbos comes. I'm buying pitas. We'll freeze them. I'm buying two challahs so that we have a Shabbos feel in the house. But we don't have to suffer eating dry challahs for the sake of having the Shabbos feel. So we'll eat pitas this Shabbos. That's going to be our... We froze the pitas, because pitas, when you put them on a plato, when you put them on a hot plate, they defrost and they taste good. But pia challahs not. Okay, so I have these two dried out challahs at home. And now I happen to be in Jerusalem with the hopes I'm going to make it back home today. So I went out and bought seven challahs. I called a good friend of mine and I said, I'm in Angels and I'll be happy to carry challahs home for you too, because I don't think they're going to bring fresh baked challahs to our yeshuv today. So the guy tells me, no, I bought on Wednesday. And I was thinking to myself, eat those challahs any other time in the week. You have to suffer on Shabbos because you bought on Wednesday? There's this rule, now you have to suffer? I'll buy you the challahs. Eat normal challahs on Shabbos. If I'm thinking to myself, my point is honoring Shabbos, so I'm going to buy the fresh challahs for Shabbos. I felt so bad when he told me that. It's not my place to tell him what to do. I felt bad. Why does he have to eat dry challahs on Shabbos? Freeze them, eat it a different day, make French toast. But honor Shabbos, have normal challahs. Now you have the opportunity of having normal challahs for Shabbos. We didn't know if we'd have that opportunity. I'm saying that's where you suddenly see which component is at play. Is the honor of Shabbos a part of me? I go to the store sometimes and the kids want a challah that costs three times as much as the regular challah. So I always tell myself, if your honoring of Shabbos is important to you, you'll spend the money. If it's about your taste buds, then you tell yourself it's not worth three times the price. But if you tell yourself it's honoring Shabbos to the kids, they enjoy Shabbos more, that should play a role by me. It's not that big a difference. Three times the price is another 10 shekel, right? Two bus rides, you can handle that. So I let the kids have it, and I push myself to buy them that challah, but I have to push myself.
Is it a cool shape or something? Or?
No, it's sweeter challahs. Meaning that the regular challah that you buy is subsidized. So we get our challahs for $3.30. The sweet, yeah. The government subsidizes regular bread and challah. The government subsidizes in this country. Yeah, but the sweet challah is going to cost you 9 shekel. The regular challah we pay about 3, 3.30. Yeah, it's a sweet deal. Yeah. Okay, and finally, hasicha, when we speak about chatter, conversation. I don't have to mention, says Rabbeinu Yonah, that a person shouldn't say lashon hara. A person shouldn't discuss things that are immodest. But even when a person is going to discuss things of wisdom, a person's intention should be the service of his creator, or something that will lead him to serving his creator. Our general rule is, a person has to analyze what he's doing in life. He has to weigh his actions and weigh them in his mind. And when he sees something which will lead him to the service of Hashem, do it. It helps you get along that path. And if not, then stay away. So that's the conclusion of the of Rabbeinu Yonah, that a person has to look at life and analyze what is going to be supportive, and that's how Rabbeinu Yonah interprets Kol Ma'asecha Yiyu L'Shem Shamayim. Your actions should be for the sake of heavens, means whatever we do, we should have that component, and when we decide what to do, so we have one formula, and that's the question, is it going to lead me to the service of heaven or not? And that's a very powerful formula. Very often in life, we have questions. Where are we going to live? What size apartment should we rent? How are we going to use our assets? And we have a lot of questions. And if a person applies this formula, he says to himself, is this leading me to the service of Hashem or not? And leading to the service of Hashem is also long-term. It's not just short-term. Meaning if a person uses up all his savings, and then he's going to end up in a situation where he has to work very hard and have very little time to learn Torah, that's also not right. But this gives us a formula to work with. And very often, if we can just channel our questions into that formula, then we have much more clarity in the decision. Yes?
So what it seems like is that when you say, to know yourself, because at first you'll say, you want to say, stay away from negative influences and evil companions. That's true. But if you know yourself well enough, maybe you're the one who can afford to be a shaliach and go out there into areas where other people shouldn't tread. And yet, and you mentioned when you were looking for community once, you said 25% of people come from non-religious backgrounds or this and that. More than that, I don't know if it would be right for my kids. So you have to make, it seems like you really have to make a hedge on what could be right for someone, like the sleep analogy. Well, Father, the thing with the sleep analogy when they said not nap in the day, that was when they worked sun up to sundown.
Right.
Today, if you go to bed at 1 hour nap, maybe right.
For sure, agreed. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes. Anyway, they say that's how you turn one day into two.
If you know what makes you thrive your best, that's huge.
Yeah.
But you're right, you have to care.